Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, Waniacs.
Hello, Horny Babies.
We're back, and we apologize for taking a week off, but we had some very important mic-related things to do.
We had to be groovy. We had to be horny.
I had to be Randy, and I had a lot of schwinging going on as well.
Yeah, a lot.
I was up to my neck in schwings.
And no, you swung from one coast to the other coast.
Yeah, I had to go all the way over to Perth, schwing it up over there, and then schwing it all the way back over here.
And you met some cool horny babies over
in Perth? I met some horny babies, I met some Slaters, I met some people who didn't know who I was.
And who is you?
Oh, I is Cameron James. Who is you?
Me, Alexi Toliopoulos.
And we are the Mic Check Kids. We're Mike's types.
We're two sexy bitches.
We love Mike Myers. That's what this show is all about. We watch the films of Mike Myers just to check if they're still good. And most of the time, they are.
They're freaking awesome.
We've gone through so many of them so far. We're up to the Shrek era, which is both exciting and daunting for us. But we've been lucky enough to go back and watch some of the classics multiple times. Specifically, most recently, we rewatched Wayne's World for, I would estimate, the 7th time in the last 12 months.
I would say so.
And we watched it for what reason, Alexi?
We hosted the 25th anniversary screening at the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace in Cremorne.
That's right. We had a packed house full of Waniacs.
It was like 200 people or 200 more.
200 people came out to watch the film with us, and it was, we've screened it before.
Yeah.
And it was great the first time, but this time, I mean, 200 people quoting along to this movie,
singing along to
anticipating
it.
Laughs, singing along to Bohemian Rhapsody, and like, I mean, it was just, it was so much fun.
It was dynamite.
It was dynamite. And it is a, I love this movie so, it's a full on classic.
What was insane to me was like, you know, we gave an introduction or whatever, we watched the movie, and we hung out just as mates after we went and got dinner. We still talked about Wayne's World for half an hour, 45 minutes, about how good it was.
It's like, just so
good.
How do
we still have stuff to say about this movie and still be able to talk to it? Because it is excellent. Like that first, the first 30 minutes of that movie to me is, if I one day, please God, if I get to be a film lecturer, that is what I would use to go, this is perfect film world building.
Yeah.
The first 30 minutes of that movie is just perfect.
I would probably,
the next 60 minutes, also perfection.
But not world building.
No, because the world is built now, they're just living.
Yeah. So when people talk about world building, you know, they talk about your Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
They talk about your Game of Thrones. No one's talking about the Wayne's World Cinematic Universe.
Let me try and do my speech.
Please.
Hello, students.
Hello, teacher.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming into my classroom. And today, I'm going to teach you a little bit about world building.
Question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a mature age student.
You may speak. You have the floor, man, 5-6 years older than myself.
Thank you. I'm recently divorced.
Sorry, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you. I'm recently divorced. My name is Pam. But you can call me Ma'am.
And, yes, ma'am.
And thank you. Did you say Pam or ma'am?
Ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I have a quick question.
You may speak.
Thank you. I already was. Is this going to be related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, now, if I may address the entire class while you speak as to what I was going to talk about, Pamelum, is you may think that I will be coming in here and talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how it has expertly crafted worlds over several years. Or you may think I'm talking about the universe of stars in a galaxy far, far away and talk about how that over several generations has created a world that is so richly detailed. But I, in fact, today will be talking about the world of Wayne.
Wow. Aurora, Illinois.
1992. 25 years ago today, in fact.
Unbelievable. It still holds up after 25 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm a bit my me now.
Yeah, okay. Yes, Cam.
But actually, I kind of like being called ma'am.
Okay, Camilla.
It's like, anyway, it was a joy to watch that movie with that audience, and we all had fun, and we chatted to people afterwards.
Yeah, we got to hang out some horny babies. Shouts to those boys and gals that came and ripped into the world of Wayne.
You've said that twice with the same emphasis.
Because I'm trying to build.
You're really getting a kick out of it.
Drama.
All right.
Yes, God, I am.
But we're not all about Wayne today. We've had some good news. We've gotten some cool tips about some more mic content out there.
A horny baby called Bo Loser on Facebook sent us something that made me so excited.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us proof that there is, in fact, another Austin Powers entry into the Austin canon out there. And, you know, I sent you a message. You didn't reply about how happy it made me. But
sorry, I was probably having a great time in Perth.
Yeah, sorry. Well, he sent us a message with a video link to the first 5 minutes to an MTV Austin Powers special to help promote Austin Powers International Man of Mystery. So this is vintage Austin, and it's like a live kind of to camera special variety hour with Austin as the host.
Have you watched any of it yet?
I watched the first 5 minutes, and baby, it's Austin.
Yes.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Yes, baby queen.
Yes, Austin. So it's like a variety show, like a Ming T part of it.
Yes, Ming T. There's singing, there's dancing, there's swinging.
Well, that's so exciting. That's something we've got to do a whole episode on very soon.
I can't wait. We have to buy it off eBay, though, because the whole thing isn't online. But,
well, that's all right. We can just add that to the tally of money that you personally have spent,
On this podcast.
On this podcast, which, give us a look at the tally.
12,000 beans.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
How much have I spent?
40 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought you some of a soft serve.
You bought me you gave me a loan towards a soft serve one day.
Yeah. And again, you're welcome.
Cheers.
So I'm looking forward to doing that one. But today we are actually going to be doing something a little bit different. Today is not a mic episode.
No, Monfrey.
We are doing a Chris Farley episode.
Yes, baby. It's a classic Aussie switch up. We are switching it up today. We're doing an episode called A Bridge to Farley, which is a podcast I host with a good friend of ours. In fact, I might say a great friend.
Sure. Great friend.
Yeah. He's one of our heroes, Aaron Gox.
You all know Goxy from the internet. He is a meme come to life.
He's Ocean Girl.
He's the stitch up dude. He's guy eating corn while listening to Corn with Cornrows.
Yeah, and he's one of our favorite comedians on the scene. We've known him for years and we absolutely love him. It was great to finally do an official collab with him. Mm-hmm. So that was A Bridge to Farley, hosted by me and Aaron Gox. It's an alternative reality where we host a podcast together instead. We're talking about the film Black Sheep, which is a Chris Farley film, which is directed by Penelope Spheeris, who is the director of Wayne's World.
So there you go. There's your link right there. If you didn't, if the SNL link wasn't enough for you, now you've got the Wayne's World link right there. It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we clip.
Well, hello there, Tommy boys and Tommy girls, and to anyone that's a black sheep of their family. Welcome to another episode of A Bridge to Farley with Aaron Gox and Alexi Toliopoulos, the only podcast where two husky comedians talk about their hero, Chris Farley, just to check if his movies go to just the right amount or whether they go A Bridge to Farley.
My name is pandemonium here.
My name is Alexi Toliopoulos. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my mate Aaron Gox.
Hello. Thanks. I'm a co-host of this regular podcast, A Bridge to Farley.
Yeah, Goxy, you're one of the biggest Chris Farley.
But still,
fans
just
ever.
Thanks for having me as a co-host,
dude. We did this together. We started this venture years ago.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
We always thank each other. That's what's good about us. We always know where we're from. We're always grateful.
We're just thankful to be in a world where our Lord and Savior, Chris Farley, fell onto tables. And
yeah, he fell onto tables for us so we wouldn't have to do it later on. We could do our own brand of husky comedy later on in life. We've got a special guest with us today to discuss the film Black Sheep.
That's right. Who do we have?
Why don't you introduce them?
We have the host. He does it himself. He doesn't co-host. It's a single man podcast. The host of Calling a Spade a Spade. It's
they've never had a guest on it.
No, the one and only Cam James.
Hey guys. Thanks for having me. I do host a show called Calling a Spade a Spade.
Yeah.
Actually, similar to your show, we love David Spade. And when I say we, I mean me.
Yeah.
It's just me.
You ever have a guest on there?
No, I would never dream of it.
Okay.
Well, and do you cover all eras of Spade, like the Dennis Finch years? And
yeah, the Finch years. We've also got the Rules of Engagement years.
Nice,
obviously,
dude.
SNL years, Hollywood Minute.
You did the do-over, dude?
The do-over was so good. I loved the do-over.
Yeah, what do you like about the do-over?
David
Spade, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You like Adam?
He's all right.
Yeah.
But you can't have an Adam without a Spade. Is that true?
You're telling me. I know that saying. I know that old saying. But we also want to get you on today. We're doing a crossover ep where we finally get to talk about the matchup between Chris Farley and David Spade.
Great comedy duo. Now, you guys, I need to know a little bit more about why you guys like Chris Farley so much. Why don't you tell? In fact, Goxie, why don't you tell me first, huh?
Because he's fantastic.
What's so fantastic about him?
Oh, he just has such spirit. I love it, you know?
Yeah.
Such beauty.
Yeah.
The guy's fucking hot, man.
Yeah.
Not in that way. I just mean, I don't know. He's just so charming. And
yeah. I think what I always liked about him was that he does stress better than anyone else.
Yeah.
And it's in this way where it's like just that last minute where he's kind of like, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of myself. He tries to be an authority figure at all times,
yep.
but still a little bit humble. And then something will happen that will just send him over the edge and he'll play out this stressed nature that is so good. And he starts falling on tables, dude. It's undeniable.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of a little kid having a tantrum or something. Like it's like, hey, and he's very sweet. Do you think he's sweet, Goxie?
Yeah.
He's got this like innocence or something about him. But
that's what I was trying to get across, the charm.
He's lovable.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Having a crack, yeah.
Yeah, he's just having a crack every day. And sometimes he falls on tables and cracks those tables.
Yeah. It's a good metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Sometimes the world is just a big table that we're all landing on.
Oh, man. Or a polling booth, like in this movie.
Yeah, the movie that we're discussing today on A Bridge to Farley, the Chris Farley podcast, is a movie called Black Sheep from 1998.
Not the New Zealand horror.
No.
See, that's what I thought it was at first, and I torrented that. Sorry.
Dude, you can't break
sorry,
the rules,
sorry,
sorry, NZ Film.
Sorry, NZ Film Industry. I tried to talk.
Maybe
I didn't realize
can,
it.
Maybe you can get some funding from Peter Jackson.
Yeah, I'm going to email Weta, and I'll be like, guys, I'm sorry. Here's $5. I'm sorry, I accidentally torrented your film.
I didn't even watch it, dude.
I was looking for the 1998. film with Chris Farley in it.
Yeah. Do you guys have a link for it though?
Yeah, and then they will hopefully send
a DVD.
A DVD or something.
Or at least like a Blu-ray of it or something.
Yeah. But man. I did watch it and I'd never seen it. You guys both seen it before?
Oh, numerous times.
Yeah? You're a fan.
Probably about 50 times.
50 times.
Oh, that'd probably exaggerate. You know when you have seen something a lot? Maybe 9 if I was being accurate.
Yeah, 9 sounds.
You can do whatever you want on this podcast, man. It's your show. You can lie. You can tell the truth. You're not under oath today. But is this your favorite Chris Farley movie?
Oh, for a long time it was, but I've had to, not had to admit, it sounds silly. It's like, someone held me down in duress and like, admit it, it's not that great. You know when you do that? Where you're like, you keep, because you've said something's your favorite for so long, you're reluctant to slip it down a bit.
Yeah.
But I think Tommy Boy is a lot better.
Yeah, I think so too. This is like the point where they were trying to sort of recreate Tommy Boy, right? They're trying to do another one.
Yeah, so I've got a little bit of background info on how this movie came into being.
Yeah.
I think it was quite right, like you're saying, it wasn't too far after.
I think you're right. It was kind of close, wasn't it?
95.
It was
rushed into production. I think, when was Tommy Boy, 95?
I think so.
Yeah, and this, originally after Tommy Boy, because Chris Farley blew up.
You mean size-wise?
Yeah.
What was his diet?
He was quite svelte.
It was a bomb.
he became huge.
Yeah. Are you still talking about... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about star-wise.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about girth.
No.
Okay, cool.
Isn't he from Waynesville, dude?
That's Garth, man. Dude, I should know. I actually co-host a very small podcast about
Mike Myers. Maybe there's a sketch character in that, a fat Garth called Girth. And he's like, Wayne, you going to eat that burger? I don't do a good Garth. You going to eat that burger, Wayne?
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, that's awesome. He became quite a star.
Yeah.
And then they had to rush into production, do something else. And he was offered a role in The Cable Guy. He was offered 3 million beans to be in that. Mm. And then...
No, wait a second.
There's a few...
Beans?
Yeah.
Like baked beans?
Yeah.
Now, they're good for your heart.
Yeah.
But I've heard the more you eat... the more wind passes out of your rectum hole.
Sphincters is what?
What?
So
no, there's actually, as you, if you're a regular listener of A Bridge Too Far, you'd know we've talked about a few times, there's a few stories revolving around Chris that, and one is The Cable Guy.
Yeah, Cable Guy.
And you probably well know about Shrek as well.
Yeah,
Shrek. Yeah, no, I do know a little bit about Shrek.
It's quite sad, actually. I think he would have made a great Shrek.
Yeah.
He would have brought a lot of his sort of childlike innocence to it.
Yeah, but instead of just a Scottish accent.
yeah. It would have been just that Chicago accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
It would have been fun, dude. They mucked up Shrek, dude. They mucked him up.
Well, I mean, I am actually a Mike Myers defender. I co-host a Mike Myers podcast that I'll plug at the end of this show.
Yeah,
I'm mainly here to talk about calling a spade. Yeah. I'm a Myers truther.
You got off the Mike Myers train. It wasn't going anywhere. You had to get on that spade, back on the spades.
You're a Mike Myers truther.
Yeah.
Jet fuel doesn't melt. Fat bastard skin.
So they rushed into getting they want to capitalize once again on the David Spade and Chris Farley team ups because they thought that chemistry brought a lot of something quite interesting to the table. And Lorne Michaels put this one together, producer of Saturday Night Live, and he also got on Penelope Spheeris, the director of Wayne's World, because she'd already worked with an established kind of Saturday Night Live team-up team and brought them on. But it kind of sounded like he also got her on board as a way to kind of apologize for not getting her on for Wayne's World 2. She was famously blackballed from that film by Mr. Mike Myers himself.
Yeah, Mike.
Your hero, mate.
One of my heroes, Mike, didn't want to work with Penelope anymore, or Nell, as I call her. And Nell got given, she got given Black Sheep. And she apparently, I've read a little bit about this too, she was a huge Chris Farley fan.
She loved him.
Loved him, thought he was a genius, but did not like David Spade at all. In fact, there's a quote from her where she says, "I never even smiled at anything David Spade has ever done."
Whoa.
That's brutal. And that really hurts me.
Yeah.
And this is a quote from David Spade as well.
Because we here at Bridge to Farley, even though we are huge Chris Farley fans, we do respect what David Spade brought to the table, and we are keen listeners of calling a spade a spade.
Oh, thank
That's
you, guys.
Why we've got
thank
you on
you.
Here today.
Yeah, I think the difference between the two is, like, David Spade brings something to the table, Chris Farley jumps on it and breaks it.
Yeah, literally and metaphorically.
But they still work together in a great way.
Yeah, they do. What do you think their chemistry is? How would you describe their chemistry?
I feel like they bounce off each other.
Yeah.
Onto tables. Oh, no.
Well, Spade definitely could bounce off Chris Farley.
Yeah. No, because I will, like I said, I saw Black Sheep first. I loved it and put it as listed as my favorite movie for a long time.
Yeah.
Of all movies.
Of all movies.
Yeah. And
does that include films?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's since moved down to number two, but no, I've come to my senses. But no, but like that's what Black Sheep is. There's a lot of stunts, and it Farley does take over a bit, and but Tommy Boy did have great. They worked very well together. Great. Yeah. What do you call that? Like
tête-à-tête,
bouncing off each other. Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah, repartee.
Repartee, tête-à-tête.
Yeah.
5 to 10.
Are you having a stroke? What is going on?
Sorry, dude. I'm just getting a bit nuts.
No, you're right. Tommy Boy is maybe a better movie, but this one still has some pretty funny stuff.
Tommy Boy is it's fantastic. Classic road movie, classic fish out of water.
Yeah, everything.
Fish out of water, a fish driving a car on a road trip. That's
Oh, man, Finding Dory. Yeah, I love it.
But
I
think what excites me most about their chemistry together is that it feels very casual. It just feels like they are just good mates hanging out. Like there's a lot of love there, and it's not in a way that feels intrusive at all. Like it's just the two of them hanging out, having a great time. You see how much love is in their eyes for each other.
Well, that's why maybe this one isn't as good as Tommy Boy, because they're not in the movie together a lot. They have a lot of stuff apart.
Yeah.
Farley's got all these like storylines.
Do you know if there was any drama on set?
There was a little drama on set because Penelope, having not liked Spade very much, I think the part, like it's not a perfect team up movie, but I think as well, not the part was reduced, but it was kind of stopped from moving those together anymore. Mm. Like she fired the writer a couple of times from the film. And I think part of it, I think the way that it's kind of shown in history, it's quite against her. But I'm a big Penelope Spheeris fan, and I think it's kind of one of those situations where they weren't giving her enough control from the start either, so she had to fight for it. And when you're fighting for something, you maybe push a little bit too hard.
Man, you got to fight for your right to vote.
Yeah.
I've always said that. That's a Chris Farley quote from this movie.
Yeah, and that's what this movie is all about. This is a political thriller. This is an absolute political thriller. And Penelope Spheeris, her cousin is actually Costa Gavras, who is one of the fathers of the political thriller film, including the film Z.
Oh.
That actually is true.
Well.
That's actually just something that I know, and that's a real film fact. That's a weird tangent. And not exactly relevant to this show, but I also know
if you're wondering who out of the pair of us at A Bridge Too Farley is the film purist and who just thinks Chris Farley is sick.
Yeah,
that's me. I just think Chris Farley is sick. Alexi likes movies in general.
I know every movie directed by a Greek person. Penelope Spheeris is Greek, dude.
Yeah, I know, man. Dude, trust me. Dog tooth. She made dog tooth. She made the lobster. I love
it. She made Wog Boy, dude.
Yeah.
She made the wannabes.
Yeah, so good.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah, that's
it was
her.
Originally going to be Chris Farley. That's why it's
big fat. That's where the oh, that's fat part. Right. Yeah. So I heard this, right? I heard that at this point in his career, Farley wanted to be doing more dramatic stuff.
Really?
He didn't really want to be doing the fat
stuff. He was
a
tortured soul. He was, didn't want to be pinned down.
And he wanted this movie to be less of a buddy comedy with Spade and more of a brother drama between him and his brother character played by Tim Matheson.
Yeah.
And I think that that's actually... They have a pretty good storyline.
I think so.
I like their relationship in this.
Yeah.
It could have easily been the annoyed brother who's sort of is sick of his little brother fucking shit up all the time. But they have kind of a sweet relationship.
As well. I think maybe Spade would have been great in that role if they want to keep that team up going.
Yeah.
That's what the charm was. The brother was like, I really want this political career, but nothing's more important than family.
You're right. I'll tell you why it wouldn't have worked with David Spade in the political role. Mm-hmm. Because if David Spade is up there making speeches and being a politician, you would instantly assume that he's an asshole, smarmy, a dick politician. He couldn't play a genuine, nice guy, good politician ever. And I love Spade, but what he brings to the table before Chris Farley breaks it is this sarcastic,
snarminess.
Yeah, and he's great at it because I think he's clearly an underdog. I think that's why it works for Spade, because he looks like and acts like the kid who would have got picked on at school.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts. Look.
We appreciate
that. You can listen to more on my podcast.
In a way, it was very unique for an SNL comedy of that era is that there's no real grand, there's no major scheme. It was just, you've got to keep, your job is just to keep Farley out of the hair, out of the way. When usually it's you've got to get this to, Billy Madison's you've got to do the grades in 12 years. Or even Tommy Boy's all these parts have to be sold, hence the road trip. And then, she's just keep him out of the way.
Stay away.
Which I think is, was it Jimmy Carter, I think, had a brother who apparently caused up some...
Oh, really?
Would get into mischief.
It's someone like that.
Doesn't Obama have one too? Obama
has a brother who's a Trump supporter.
Yeah, Obama's brother's Twitter is...
It's funny.
It's cooked is the phrase.
It's do you think there's conversations ever taken place where it's you know, I'd really appreciate your support. I guess he didn't. Yeah, he didn't.
Or even
it wasn't Obama v. Trump.
Obama's hey, bro, your Twitter.
What's going on?
Do you think he ever is delete your account?
Yeah, he should. That'd be so funny if there was a reply from at POTUS that just said, delete this, all caps.
But this movie, it's a political film. So Chris Farley's brother, played by
Tim Matheson.
Tim Matheson.
Yeah.
He
From Fletch.
From Fletch.
And from the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah, he is he's gunning for governor.
Yep.
But he's up against Christine Ebersole, who is the current governor of wherever they are.
Somewhere in the Midwest.
Let's call it Vermont.
You say Christine, is she pretty
she's more of a theater person, I believe. She's more of I think she's a theatery musical type person. I know she's had some Tonys because I read her Wikipedia page 3 seconds ago.
Man, I've had a few Tonys in my time too.
Because a lot of the cast like I said, I know Tim from Fletch. And a lot of the cast to me.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, just your black sheep.
The black sheep car.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, but she, yeah, she was just really encompassed that really nasty.
Yeah, nasty she's a old nasty, politician. Nasty.
Yeah.
And she's very kind of, she's a bit of a Trump-esque figure. She's cooking the figures. She's making yep. fake voter fraud out there, and she's yeah. corrupt, dude. I don't want to take a political stand, but guess what? Too late. I've taken the stand.
I'm all in on Farley's brother in
Blake. Exactly.
Yeah, same. He's the Hillary.
He's a good bloke, man. I reckon he deserves to be governor, regardless if he won or not. They should have cooked the votes on his side, I reckon.
Who do you reckon, man, can I ask you guys this?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get too political, but are we pro-Trump or against Trump in this room right now?
He's good for comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
I'm awesome. Working on my character, so.
Could you give him a bit of Trump?
Sorry?
Give us a bit of your Trump.
Oh, okay. I just got to get into character a bit.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, this isn't a visual thing, is it?
No.
Let's take you as long as you need.
Right now he's
He's actually putting a wig on.
Yeah. Orange.
He's smeared some peanut butter over his face.
He's putting on a pair of very small hands.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm ready.
Lips are pursed.
Yeah. Fingers out.
You're fired.
Oh,
that was perfect.
Donald.
You're fired.
The Don is back. And now he's in charge.
Oh, man. Fired.
I'm just going to do the rest of the app as Trump. What do you... You're a black sheep. Is a...
Now he's a New Zealander. Oh. You're talking about the wrong black sheep, mate.
Oh. Black sheep.
Black sheep, bro. Beach Daz on the...
I'm Black Sheep Daz.
How many do you know? Got the skill to go.
Oh, God. Is that Scribe?
It was an attempt.
Oh, no.
Scribe Trump.
Oh, you're fired.
You're fired, bro. Oh, God. Can we get back to Black Sheep?
Nah, now? Bro, I like where we're going.
I didn't come here to do Kiwi Trump.
Kiwi Trump's going to blow up on Twitter, dude. I know it. Hey, I got a question for you, Goxie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, I mean, I knew you were a Farley head, but then I got halfway through this movie and I realized that maybe there's another reason you like it. And that is because of the MTV Rock the Vote scene with Mudhoney.
Yeah, that was great, isn't it?
You're a Mudhoney guy?
I didn't know about him before this, but I love the... And that could be the connection with Penelope as well, because she did the punk documentary.
Yeah, The Decline of Western Civilization.
Yeah.
So who is Mudhoney for people
festival
that don't know?
I was at the other night hanging out backstage.
Thrashville, right?
Yeah. This is all linking things back, but the singer of Cosmic Psycho is an old Oz pub rock band, pretty legendary. And he is talking about his knowing that people from that Seattle scene, like Mudhoney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's pretty cool connections like that. But yeah, I love that bit. Love the bit with the Jamaicans and just to he's a huge influence of mine, Farley, with the comedy I do. And I try and incorporate a little bit of that, you know, the accidental wrong slogans, you know, one small step for man because he was stoned. And
stumble upon stuff. I think that's
Kill
such a
Whitey.
Great scene. That scene of them finding out, of him finding out that he's Whitey, that the concept of what Whitey is, as Whitey is the man holding holding them down and pushing them down, I think that is so funny. because I can imagine people, you know, young kids watching this movie when it comes out and having all these questions about that as well and having to ask their folks about it.
Who's Whitey?
Yeah, who's Whitey? Am I Whitey?
Well, and it's quite interesting to see Black Sheep and we talk about the commercialism of like rushing it out and stuff and trying to capitalize on his big star. And then also because us guys being involved in comedy, you see when people get used, they don't get their skills used well. And another thing too is, but also overdoing it, I think too. Where they're like, because he has when he gets angry, that's pretty funny. You know, like, but they kind of like, you know, that bit where he's the security guard.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, you better step the and it's just
That's the one thing I reckon. I thought this movie was pretty good. I'll say that. But that scene, that security guard scene, when he yells at that guy, I just didn't like it.
That's what I've like. I thought like we've got to have him doing that.
Yeah, they've got to have him scream. But why did they have smoke coming out of his ears in that scene?
There's a couple of
those. Monster.
It's the Home Alone scenario where you didn't have you know when you got electrocuted, like you didn't have to have the skeleton. It was just like everything else was like so good.
The universe is real. I've believed it. As soon as I saw smoke come out of his ears, it just broke me out of it.
Like, That's
where I'm going to come in. I'm going to talk about this movie. That is the moment where this goes a bridge too far. It goes too far in that scene.
Would you say there's too much going on? It's a bit too Boosie. I don't know. I was trying to link Gary Busey.
Yeah, it's quite Boosie up in here. There's too much going on. That's the big problem, I think, with this film. If they kind of stripped it all back, like because the plot is quite threadbare. Yep. So they have to chuck in too many comedic set pieces for it to all work out properly.
Because I saw this. I think I was like 13, like grade 7, grade 8. So, you know.
You see in the cinema?
You're obviously at the prime of your life.
Yeah, those are my best years.
No, I didn't see the cinema. I saw it on DVD.
Yeah.
And, but I remember thinking like just the funniest thing ever is like the bunk bed scene.
Oh, yeah. I still think that's good.
But it's funny. It's a bit of fun, but it's just pretty easy like slapsticks.
Yeah, but I love slapstick, man. If I could,
I just mean in Tommy Boy had really, really good, well-written jokes. Mm. Just like that thing about where you're accidentally saying something, but it's good comedy, I think, where he's like, opens up the fridge. He's trying to impress in the office. And he's like, I could put 6 packs of soda in here. You know? That sort of thing.
But this movie, I mean, the jokes. Well, I just don't think they got enough time to play together. I wish that they were on screen together more. That whole MTV Rock the Vote section, I like.
Yeah.
Where's Spade in there?
There's no Spade there.
What is he even doing? Well, I heard a rumor that they were both, and this is just a rumor, guys.
Yeah.
Allow me to bring out my spade and dig a little dirt because
as long as you don't go too far.
I don't want to dig a shallow grave, but I heard that they were both arguing over the same girl.
Really?
Spade used to date this lovely young woman who's actually in Tommy Boy.
Yep.
And then they weren't official.
Mm-hmm.
And then Farley started seeing her as well. And then that sort of caused a bit of friction between the two of them.
Really?
And Spade has said something to the effect of, I don't mind. We weren't dating, but I just wish that he didn't go behind my back to do it. And I think, man, I've said this before, I'll say it again, bros before hoes.
I really agree. Yeah. I must.
You do have that tattooed, is it, on your back?
Or? On the small of my back, So
I think you've actually got it a few times on you, don't you? It's not just one tattoo.
Well, I forgot I had it once and I got it done again.
But you can never.
I'm kind of like Memento, but I just get the same thing tattooed all over my body.
Yeah.
Bros before hoes.
Yeah, and people are like, man, did something happen to you?
And I'm always like, nah.
I just like the way it sounds.
Yeah, it's like rhymes.
Yeah.
Just about loyalty and
vengeance, dude. Wait, what? Let's get into some Gary Busey talk because he has quite an extended, it's like almost a cameo, but then it keeps on going.
Yeah.
And I think it's fabulous.
And he's just batshit insane. He's just,
you know what his character reminds me of? Steve Buscemi in Billy Madison.
Yeah.
They love that, getting those guys in.
Yeah, get like a
being insane,
a serious actor to be a crazy person, and it's kind of the same story as the Buscemi one. Mm. Like, he's a psycho and, who's stalking him, right?
An interesting thing they've done, you might know from being the Spade expert, but where usually his snarky stuff people don't have a comeback for, but in Black Sheep, they're kind of getting him back.
That's true.
There's the lady.
And
then at first, when she's like, what do you got going in there, a little chubby, you know? Because he's trying to do the classic finger, got something for you.
Yeah.
So she kind of gets him.
And then Busey gets him.
Yeah, and he's got to run and leave his cut. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And then the kids, they spray him.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah, so there's definitely a like, in this movie, Spade gets his.
Do they shove a fucking fire extinguisher up his asshole in that scene?
I think it's implied.
Because he says something about, thanks for not shoving that up my asshole. And then the next then time you see him, he's got spray all over his butt.
Yeah, that's what's implied.
Oh, that sucks for him.
Dude, that would not be cool.
No way. That would feel weird.
Go on.
Is that, and the kid, is the kid, no, the kid's not like from American Pie or something.
Oh, you think it was the Shermanator?
No, it is the, I swear that's the Shermanator.
You think it's
the
Shermanator?
Yeah.
No, but he seems kind of rattier, tougher.
Yeah, but maybe the Shermanator was rattier and tougher and, you know, is this, hang on, do you reckon he's playing the same character, Chuck Sherman?
Wait, when did American Pie come out?
99.
Yeah, that's only 1 year later. It can't be him.
I think this movie was not 98. I think it was 96. So that's 3 years. Let's give, I assume it's Chuck Sherman. Don't just look it up.
You got to know your pie.
It is 96, yeah.
We'll delve deeper on our next episode of American Pie 3.1 Pi R squared.
Is there anything else that we should talk about? I'm trying to think if there's anything else in this film that we should do.
Well, let's go through
Of the stunt work. What do you think of some of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about
some of the best Farley moments in this film.
Yep.
Is there a moment in this film where you're like, that is pure Chris Farley. This is what I paid for and this is what I freaking got, dude.
Well, like I was talking about with the stunts, there's some pretty insane stunt work, just like the falling down the hill. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I loved it, but I was like 13 and it's not very high quality film work. It's just like, chuck a stunt there. And then some classic comedy gags of like, I've got chocolate pudding in my pants. Dude, we didn't have any chocolate pudding.
What do you think that was that went in his pants?
I think it was a poo.
Like a bowl of shit or something?
I think he's done a poo from being freaked in.
I get it.
I don't know if you listeners at home like know about what we do in the comedy industry, but there's sort of a wave of like anti comedy, if you know about any anti comedy fans out there. And like, I think a lot of this where you make fun of like classic comedy. So they got like, oh, he's trying to get a, it's almost like 1920s, 30s, like Three Stooges, like, oh, he's, well, it wouldn't be because he's trying to get a reception on his phone. So that's not 1920. But you know what I mean? It's like, oh. And then he bangs his hair, you know?
Yeah, it's like an homage to that kind of slapstick humor.
There's all this stuff around there. There's all these little things going on, isn't there, too? Because then he's got the kid he's trying to make proud at the rec center.
I felt strange about that whole storyline. I mean, I think it's pretty sweet because Farley's a sweet, innocent guy. Yeah. He doesn't seem sinister. But the way that it's written and kind of,
you got a hell of an arm.
Wait, it's almost like a grooming, like you're watching.
Yeah.
If it was in a drama, this would be something you'd look out for.
Yeah. I think it's only in place to kind of to actualize and prove his sweetness. Because otherwise it's just like him being nice to his brother. So I think they really need to like, they really want to just make it so clear, like this guy is the best.
Yeah, he just happens to...
He means well.
Things go wrong. It's not his...
That's so indicative of a different time because now you just wouldn't be able to go be 30-something and just be down at the park with a bunch of kids playing football and then just walk one of them home and tell their grandma or whatever, hey, I'm going to be with your little boy every
he's gonna make
single
it to the
afternoon.
Pros,
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to train him every day. Like,
I got to work out his arm.
Yeah, You just wouldn't be able to do that.
It couldn't
now.
Happen now.
That's the one thing I'd say is like, there's not much subtlety. It's like, like the bad guys just got to be super bad and like and it's just the worst, like when the ways they set him up with like the burning the center.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I love that bit where he's just on the phone. You know, he's like, and he's listening. It must be a thing with those guys because that's what Sandler had in Billy Happy Gilmore, the weird dreams. And then he's like, you know, with the grandma.
Yeah.
My grandma, give me the finger. Like.
That's right. Yeah, those guys loved the idea of grandmas in sexiness.
And midgets.
Yeah. That was funny. My favorite Farley moment, and it might be one of you guys' as well, is the polling booth scene. Where he gets stuck in the polling booth. That's just like a great physical comedy gag.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because it shows one of his things is that he's got this uncontrollable strength.
Yeah.
And it's like not that he's not aware of how strong he is. It just happens.
Yeah.
And I love the when he like cartwheels up to that old couple. Just the like... Just not knowing what's bad. I love that. Just like he's trying to genuinely help his brother, but everything he does just does not help at all.
I think that's where he's at his funniest is when he's like he's at this perfect tipping point where he could go into a complete rage or he could become the sweetest person and you never know. Like that polling booth one, he's stuck in the booth with these two old women. It falls over. He like... punches his way out of the back of it. And then he's like going, oh my God, and freaking out. Yeah. And then he starts punching through the wood of the thing to get the women out. Like he's being helpful.
He's always trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
And it's just because like, I know the whole thing of politics and comedy and it's like, and it just seems so, and that whole thing is, I think it's funny to think like, how a candidate votes for themselves. Mm. And then even a brother, it's like all he's got to do is walk in, tick it off his brother. And even that's like such a huge, nothing goes right. But there's some absolute shockers of bad Joes, like stapling his hand to the tree.
Yeah, that's like, that feels like
it's just
something
like, that's just over the top dumbness.
And getting his thumbs caught in the boot as well, or the bonnet.
Yeah.
Pop the boot. And what if, is like I said, like my age at the time when I liked it, I was 30 and, 30. Give me a break, guys. This was last year. It was my favorite film. No, but looking back, it's like, it has everything that a 13, 14 year old wants. Like, cause you're like, you know, he might be dabbling in a bit of the green, if you know what I mean. I had a lot of
a little bit of Shrek, huh?
A little bit of, Cotty's lime coil, that's right. No, you know what I mean? Because, like, and so that, like,
the lime spiders?
Yeah, yeah. So, those bits when he's like stoned off the gas, you just love it, you know? Like,
yeah, I love that.
Jack Meehoff.
Yeah, that's great.
It's just like, it's perfect for like a 14 year old. Like,
yeah, it's just like, it is a fun little raunchy comedy for your teen audience.
Yeah.
Which is who these guys really are. They're just like they're teenage heroes.
Yeah.
Chris Farley and David Spade.
I think I was just starting to get into like sort of Pennywise and Michael Moore and like Take Down the System too. So I'd probably like that.
Yeah.
The angle of the politics of it too.
Yeah. We're going to ruin the corruption. We're going to drain the swamp. And then hopefully one day Chris can come and live there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If only. I do often think of the movie that Shrek could have been with Chris Farley in it.
What do you think could have been?
Cable guy.
Or who would he have been in the cable guy? Which role was he off?
Cable guy.
The cable guy?
I think so. Because that's it. That's where he's like, his strength is over the top.
Yeah. True. Over the top, needy, but lovable. Yeah. It would have been a very different movie.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Jim Carrey brings real darkness to that.
Because he's a psycho.
I read that article where they're like, he took such a risk doing that, Jim Carrey.
Mm.
Like, but didn't he get like the most money ever?
It was the highest paycheck that anyone had ever had.
It was like $20 million.
Yeah, so it's not much of a risk.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Farley, imagine Farley in all the roles we could have had him in, right?
You have liked to have seen him in?
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Farley play one of Dr. Evil's henchmen in the Austin Powers franchise.
Yeah.
I don't know. They would have had a whole character just for him. Like he would have been... this wrecking ball of a villain.
Exactly. Maybe he could have played that Irish guy that tries to strangle Austin on the shitter.
Oh, that would have been fun.
I don't think of him as parodying things. I think of him as But oh yeah, I get like he was like lunch late. Like yeah, there's a little bit of dressing up. Yeah. Tom Arnold, I think.
Yeah. So I love Lunch Lady.
Yeah. Same. Man, this we missed out on a lot of great things. He only died a year and a half after this one came out.
Yeah, it's sad. Like just if I think of him, even that the Chris Farley show sketch that he did on SNL, that's how I think of him as like at his best, like that sort of thing. Just like he doesn't really believe in himself, you know.
Yeah,
oh, idiot.
He's overwhelmed. He's sweet. Mm. Do you know a funny story about that sketch, the Chris Farley show sketch? It came out of real life because every week on SNL, all the actors had to pitch sketches to the hosts.
Yeah.
And Farley was so bad at it that he'd have to like sit with Alec Baldwin or whoever, and he'd be like, "Hey, I've got an idea for a sketch, Mr. Baldwin. You know that movie you did with your wife Kim?" And Alec would go, "Yeah," and he'd be like, "Yeah, it was awesome." Yeah. And that was like all he could do. He just got so overwhelmed.
But it's an antidote. It's almost like, you know, like me and you being big music fans. Like you read about what the scenes came out of, like. Like grunge was a response to glam, kind of like all these guys over the top, and then it's guys in flannies going like, nah, we, you know, and that's what punk was as well, like a response to like Queen, and that's what I feel in a world of, in a comedy world of like guys like I've got the answer, you know, like Hicks and that, or even like they were buddies like Sandler and Spade, but I felt like he's different to even them,
because
Spade was like, "Zinger, that's how I'm going to win you over.
Yeah,
I'm going to pwn you."
Yeah.
And Sandler was like,
"Liberty."
He's like, "I'm the cool dude." Even the way he pitches himself, how he's like,
"Yeah,
I'm a guy who is awesome at hockey." Like, he's never humble. Like,
yeah, that's never true.
And Farley's like, "I fuck things up." Like,
yeah.
He always inspires others to love him. That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's a huge influence on me. When it's like, for comedians or any artist, the biggest fear is to be revealed that you're ripping something off.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, if someone goes like, "Man, your stuff's just so fine," I'm like, "Sweet." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do. Like, everything's really been done. That's why I'm like, if someone says I ripped off a Simpsons thing, I'm just going to be like, "Yeah, it's the best show." Like, not ripped off, but like, that's very similar. Because, you do stuff and you realize it's your influence. Yeah. It's just shining.
The Shining is one of your influences.
No, I'm saying your influences shine through into your.
The Shining is one of my influences. Yeah. That's how I treat people in my family.
Yeah.
I still haven't actually seen it.
Dude, you've got to check out The Shining. We'll do it on our other podcast called You Don't Know Jack one day.
Or
we'll talk about the films of Jack Nicholson.
Cue Brick by Brick.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stanley Knife. I don't know.
Another Cue Brick in the Wall.
Yeah.
As your music influence there, Pink Floyd.
Guys, let's see if this film went a bridge too farly. Did you think this went a bridge too farly, or do you think it didn't go quite farly enough?
Well, see, look, because I'm such a Spade head, as you know, I watched this movie kind of tilted towards wanting to see more of David Spade.
The marvelous Mr. Spade.
I love him. I'm endeared to him. I think he is so funny and so sweet. Same with Farley.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little disappointed that we didn't get more of them together. I thought it was going to be more like Tommy Boy in that regard.
Yeah.
But there's some really funny scenes. The scene of them driving the car with the nitrous oxide leaking.
Yeah.
Obviously
classic
the pole. Yeah.
Like, see, you're watching that. You need to be able to watch it when you're 14.
I know. I missed out on it.
In the camping lodge.
I don't know if like American Pie would hold up. You know?
The camping lodge. See, all these scenes, I think they were really fun scenes. But as a whole, maybe it didn't hold up, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I think it went just farly enough.
Just farly enough. Goxie, where do you stand on this film?
9 Farleys out of 10.
9 Farleys out of 10. That's far almost out. The full Farley.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It is what it is. It was rushed. It's some pretty bad comedy gags, but it's fun and yeah. Boosie. What can I say? Gary Busey.
Guys, thank you so much.
What do you think, though?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I think this film, like you said, it goes just far enough. There's times where it goes a bridge too farly, but most of the time, it's just a joy to see Chris Farley up on screen again. And the thing that sucks about this is that because we had so few films with this guy, there's not that much to go through. And it's so even films like this where it's not like a perfect treasure, you still have to hold it dear to you because we don't have that those other little gems in the tiara that is Chris Farley's filmography.
I actually wonder, I don't think it was even like seen much, even though they're like, let's get this out, and it was rushed, and I don't, and it's, I feel like, it sounds silly, it's not like, oh, he's an underground, since, you know, he's not really a cult figure, he was pretty big, but there's still, because the amount of people who love, like we'll talk about, his bit in Billy Madison, people love that. You know, the bus driver.
Yeah.
Which he's uncredited for.
Yeah.
But it's
or even him. In Wayne's World, there's the security guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a... Look, I think maybe the one gift you can give your audience on A Bridge Too Farley is to tell them to watch this film.
Yeah, you got to watch Black Sheep.
It's fun. I mean, obviously, watch Tommy Boy, watch all the other ones, but this one...
Watch American Ninja. Watch it. Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah. Oh.
Thanks for having me on your show, guys.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. That was A Bridge Too Farley. Thank you for enjoying it, baby.
Thanks for having me as a guest on that as well. It was a joy, and it's a joy to finally be back with you in the Mike Check universe.
Yes, we are back on topic with Mike Myers. You can catch us on Twitter. I am This Is Alexi. You're on Twitter at I Am Cameron James.
Yep.
We've got some shows coming up. I've always got Greenlights Comedy Nights at the end of the month. The last Friday of the month, we've got some really cool shows coming up. I think if you're listening to this today, we've got a show tonight with Justin Hamilton headlining. That is the 24th of February. So that's tonight.
10 days after the sexiest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for V-Day?
Watch Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I've got a cool new thing that I'm doing. I'm hosting film trivia at the Golden Age Cinema and Bar.
That's very cool.
So I think the one coming up now is sold out, but it's every second Tuesday.
That's so cool.
And it's free, but you have to do RSVP because it's a small venue.
So I tell you what, man, I'll see you next Tuesday.
Very cheeky. Very.
Now, I also have some shows up. I've just done the Perth Fringe Festival with my stand-up hour. I'm about to do the Brisbane Comedy Festival in March and then the Melbourne Comedy Festival from the end of March to the end of April. If you want tickets to that, you can go on alist.com.au and my ticket link will be on there, or you can just Google Cameron James Comedy. The show's called 88. It's funny. It's me doing stand-up. And then afterwards, if you want to come and hang out, we can talk about Mike.
The reviews are in, Cameron. I read the first review.
You did?
Yeah.
I glanced over it.
It says, funny, sexy, cool, three words. It's awesome.
That's the perfect review. I'm going to put that on the poster.
Yeah.
And when I say poster, I mean I'm not going to put it on a poster. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Please chat with us on Facebook and on Twitter. We love to talk about Mike. And of course, jump on iTunes and give us a 5-star review.
And in your review, leave us the title and theme for our next super specific actor-based podcast.
Something like A Bridge Too Farley, for example.
Starring the films of Chris Farley, for example.
Yeah, or A Spade a Spade.
Goodbye, horny babies. Goodbye.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast.